Welcome, everybody. I think we're going to get started here.
Hey, howdy.
Welcome to Branding and Customizing My Sites with SharePoint Server 2010. We'll Microsoft SharePoint Server 2010.
Shorten the title a little bit.
Thank you for coming out on this Wednesday of Tech Ed here in Orlando, Florida. I'm John. This is Randy. We'll be introducing ourselves here in a second. But this is OSP 337. In this session, we're going to be talking about branding and customizing my sites. So we're going to start off by talking a little bit about social and the enterprise, just in general. And before we kind of got started with the session, I was talking with some of the folks out here. And you know, one of the things that I think is really common is that, you know, a lot of people in the industry and in the enterprise think about social as Facebook. And they are a little bit leery about, you know, so the value of social in the enterprise, because they think that everybody's just going to be
John bought his Facebook stock the other day and was thrilled about it.
They think everybody's just going to be posting photos and all that other stuff. And, you know, but the reality is there's a lot of value, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to talk about My Site basics. You know, what is a My Site? What are the pieces that make up a My Site? How does it all work? So we're going to start off, we're going to lay that foundation about My Sites, and then we're going to move on to talk about branding. How do you brand a My Site? What goes into, you know, what types of things do you have to change in order to take your brand into your My Site? From there, we're going to talk about how you deploy your branding. If anybody has, you know, used My Sites before, you know, the idea about how every time a new site is created, how do you manipulate that? How do you make sure that your new brand that you've created is going to show up on the site whenever one of your users out there goes and creates one of their sites? Then we're going to take that to the next step. We're going to talk about some of the other types of ways that you can customize your My Site, and that would be through controlling the deployment of My Sites. Controlling the deployment of web parts to your My Site. So we found that kind of the overwhelming number one customization that people want to do to My Sites is branding. Number two would be controlling deployment of web parts. So as we go through this session, we're going to start off, and it's kind of a unique session because half of it is going to be kind of talking about some of the branding stuff. Randy's going to get into that. So we're going to be talking about branding, what goes into it. Other half is going to be talking a little bit about the deployment side. We're going to crack open Visual Studio a little bit and show some code and what's going on there. So we
call it like a 250 level session.
Yeah, 250. We're going to start
How far we go. Maybe we'll go up.
We're going to start off in the 200s, probably get our way into the 300s. So just so you know, if you're looking for the branding, there's going to be some of that. There's going to be some of the code. So stick around. It all kind of works together. As you're sitting around here watching the session, feel free to reach out to the Twitter sphere. Is that a word?
Twitter sphere? I think
Twitterverse.
So.
Tweet about the session. You can use the hashtag SPMySites. Always interested to see how types of comments that people have during sessions.
We can try not to curse too much on it, though. I can see them a little bit on my phone here in the notifications thing, so don't scare me.
So who am I? My name's John Ross. I live right here in Orlando, Florida. I run the Randy and I together run the Orlando SharePoint User Group. We just had SharePoint Saturday on Saturday, so I don't know if any of you went to SharePoint Saturday, but it was a good event. Do it next year, so come on down. Contributed to a couple books. There's my blog, and there's my Twitter. So you know, please feel free to check me out on the blog and reach out to me on Twitter. Love to interact with people in the community, but like I said, here from Orlando, Florida, so you know, I get to sleep in my bed, which is kind of nice.
We just sleep here at the conference.
But check out the Orlando SharePoint User Group's website. It's osbug.org if you're interested in getting involved in the area.
So I'm Randy Driscoll. I'm the branding and design lead at Rackspace, formerly SharePoint 911, for those of you who remember the old days a few months ago. Worked on some of the same books John did. Professional SharePoint 2010 Branding is our main branding book. We don't talk a lot about My Sites in there, but it'll be a good kind of to combine with the info you get in this session to learn more about branding and that kind of thing. And I'm from Orlando. There's my Twitter. There's my blog, et cetera, et cetera.
So as I kind of alluded to just a couple minutes ago, a lot of times whenever organizations and they hear the word social, they think it's just latest buzzword. It's something that is more of a time waster, and there's not really any tangible value. But really at the core of it, what social really means is it's kind of how we interact and share information in the organization. And as companies are looking forward, social is becoming more intertwined into, you know, every part of how the technology that, that folks use. So, you know, it could be more, you know, in some ways it could just be using SharePoint, how we collaborate, you know, in our various sites. Or, you know, it could be how we find and reuse information. So how we actually locate people and knowledge within the enterprise. You know, let's say I have a complex question or a project that's spinning up, and I need to, let's say I want to do a SharePoint project, and I don't know, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, but I can reach out through some of the through social capabilities, find people who do have that knowledge, and interact with them, and make sure that we get going in the right direction. I mentioned collaboration, and other ways that really all systems, if you look at more than just SharePoint, really every piece of software these days is really integrating more and more social capabilities into it. So it's not just isolated to SharePoint. But speaking to the point of the value of social in the enterprise, we're actually, it's not just something that people think it's valuable anymore. There's actually research out there that's measuring the value of social in the enterprise. So this was a snippet that I pulled actually from the SharePoint.microsoft.com site a few months ago. But essentially what they're saying is that there was a study that was done by MIT and the NYU Stern School of Business, where they determined that employees that were better connected in an organization, in an enterprise, generated on average $83,000 more in revenue per year.
It's righteous bucks.
So, I mean, this is just, I looked around and I found a whole bunch of studies that were similar to this. And I didn't want to inundate you with, like, you know, this isn't an executive presentation. But if you look and you're interested in trying to justify to your boss about using social, whether it's with SharePoint or just anything else, it's not hard these days to start finding some of this information, because there's this feeling in the enterprise, and I'm sure, or amongst people like you, that you have bosses who feel that social is just a big time waster, and it's just, you know, we don't want to create just Facebook in our company. You know, there, if you go out and you look, there are a ton of these other just awesome facts and figures that are out there that really show the value of what social is bringing to the marketplace. So from a social perspective in SharePoint, you know, it really speaks to a lot of different things, a lot of different parts and pieces of SharePoint. Social these days is kind of, as I mentioned, it's really intertwined into all facets of SharePoint. I mean, this could be as simple as, you know, just interacting with people on a team site and just collaborating on a document or a project or something like that. But, you know, it's really how we bring information together, how we work together, and, you know, in some cases, I use the example of finding SharePoint resources or whatever it happens to be. You know, in the old days, if you were trying to go through and you were trying to track down some of this knowledge expertise in your organization on a specific thing, it might be manual. You pick up the phone, you call Bob, and Bob's like, oh, I heard Chris knew how to do that, and, you know, you go around and you send out some emails, and eventually you may track down who you're looking for. But through social capabilities, especially in SharePoint, you know, it helps you get to that person that you're looking for a little bit faster. So within SharePoint, besides the team sites, you've got wikis, blogs, the whole My Site capabilities, like through news feeds, taggings, ratings, keywords, all the, you know, so many parts and pieces that all kind of come together, and the My Sites are really the central hub for the social experience in SharePoint Server 2010. So that's a lot of what we're talking about. But, you know, when you think about all of these pieces together, this graph or this thing that I put together kind of illustrates everything that works together to become a My Site. I think a lot of times people think of My Sites, it's almost like a black box. But at the bottom there, it might be a little bit tough to read in the bright lime green we have down there. But on the line,
nice color choice there, John.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. So at the bottom there, we've got our service application proxy. So for any of the admins there, those are the things that are running in central admin that are providing us the information that we need to drive My Sites, like the enterprise managed metadata. We've got the user profile application, got search, or potentially custom applications. Above that, you know, then you've got your actual My Site web application. So in the demos that we're going to be showing, this is something that lives at mysite.contoso.com. That's where, that's the web application or the, let's say the website in IIS where our, where my MySite lives. Could be, you know, you could live wherever you want yours. And then within that, we've got site collections. And those site collections, the kind of the most common one that you're going to see is going to be the MySite host. And this is going to be the place that whenever you say, go to my MySite, you're going to see this landing page that's going to be, you know, your the central place that's going to have all your links at the top to it. That's going to help you jump off to the My News feed, the My Profile, or if you have custom pages. Now, if you click on the top link on your MySite host and you click on My Content, what that's actually going to do is it's going to provision for you a separate site collection. It's going to be a personal site. And so every person out here that says click on My Content, it's going to provision you your own site collection. And that's going to, and so that's why we have under the My Site section, we've got those extra little blocks, because we have one My Site host, and we're going to have many site collections that are the personal sites. And this fact about why there are these separate site collections for each My Site is why branding becomes tricky for My Sites, and because what's happening is every time you go in and you click on My Content, a new site collection is created, and we need to make sure that the branding that we create and any other customizations that we're applying is automatically set up. And how we do that is tricky, and that's going to be kind of the meat of this presentation. So if you've ever been to a My Site, when you click on your My Site, you go out to your to where it says Welcome John. You click on that, and you're going to go to My Site. You're going to click on My Site, and this is what you're going to see, something similar to this. This is what you're going to see. This is the My Site host. So this this is kind of the landing page that kind of just shows you everything as a starting point. And, you know, it looks pretty bland, right? I mean, most companies go out and at least spend a small amount of time and effort customizing their brand. So they're going to have someone like Randy come out and they're going to apply their custom brand that they have for their intranet or their public-facing site, and they're going to want to put it on here. They're going to want to put it on the My Site so that, you know, if we've spent all this time and effort everywhere else, you know, obviously it makes sense to have it everywhere, not just on the intranet, but, you know, this is going to be also part of our intranet. So out of the box, it's pretty bland. It looks blue. So, you know, a lot of times people want to change it and make it look like something. And, you know, here's an example of kind of the what I was talking about, the personal site. So when it gets created, again, it looks really almost similar to what you're talking about from a team site. Really nothing crazy going on here. Basically just got some lists and libraries. But again, it's all pretty standard. And, you know, if you're really wanting the essence of branding we talk about is creating a consistent look and feel. You know, obviously unless your consistent look and feel is based on, you know, the out of the box SharePoint branding, probably not going to match what you're looking for. So people always say, how do we do that? And, you know, why? What's the justification for customizing My Sites? Well, I like to say that, you know, for a lot of people, you know, you can think about modifications to My Sites almost like an off-the-rack suit. For some people, you know, you could go to a store, pick up a suit off the rack or whatever, and it fits perfect. Fits like a glove. But, you know, the amount of people that have, you know, those spot-on measurements that can buy an off-the-rack anything and have it look exactly like a tailored suit, it's really difficult. So it's the same thing with My Sites in that, you know, in a lot of organizations, the out-of-the-box My Sites might work just fine. You might not need to make any customizations. But by and large, we find that organizations want to customize it because every organization is unique and they have different things that they want to do. So, you know, adding that customization to the site is going to do a bunch of different things. You know, from a purely aesthetic point of view, like I work for a company, and I live here in Orlando. My company is based out of San Antonio, and you know, it's nice as a remote employee to kind of feel like I'm part of this bigger entity. You know, so you know, having a consistent brand and look and feel that's pushed down to the My Sites is one way to help your employees kind of identify with the overall corporate brand and everything. So that's one thing. That's one reason why people want to customize My Sites, just, you know, to push that look and feel down. Improving usability is another thing, and Randy's going to be talking about customizing the navigation a little bit, how to inject like your corporate logo into that. So things like that. Usability is another aspect that branding is more than just making stuff look pretty. You know, there is a huge usability component to that. And then the third thing would be ensuring, say consistency of functionality. So if we've got a My Site, as you saw in the last slide, the My Site out of the box has just a couple web parts. But what if you spent some time and effort and you have developed some custom functionality so that when Susie logs in the morning and she goes to her My Site, we can have some custom web parts that are going to put great functionality at her fingertips that will work for her, but we want to make sure that we can deploy that in a consistent way, not just to Susie, but to everybody. So how we push those custom pieces is something that there's a lot of ROI in that. And so it's one of those things where it's deceptively tricky, and probably a lot of the reason why some of you are here looking at this session, because there's a ton of value in My Sites, and through some of these customizations, it really helps you unlock a lot of that ROI.
So here's an example of a branded SharePoint site. We didn't create this one. This is Microsoft created this. I don't know if they're showing this in any of the other sessions, but this is actually a SharePoint Online site, Office 365, and they added a bunch of nice styling to it. There's a rotator on there. There's jQuery. It actually surfaces up Twitter feeds, and they styled the search, and they have the couch up there at the top, and it's kind of got this cool, 3D look to it, right? And so they wanted to make sure that when you go to the My Sites, that it had a similar look. And so one of the things I wanted you to see when you're looking at this is that if you're familiar with how the profile section works, it looks a lot like this in the middle of the page, right? But the outside of it, they've completely styled to sort of have some of the same look that the original one did. So they took the same couch and the same search, same navigation, they rounded the bottom of it, and they made it kind of have a shadow so it's 3D, but for the most part, in the middle, they didn't change anything. They didn't change the colors or anything like that. They could have, but they chose not to. And so in your environment, you can kind of decide what level of branding do you need in your My Sites. Do you just want a logo at the top and some colors and a font, or do you want to go crazy with it and make it completely not look like SharePoint? That's sort of the decision you have going forward is how far do you want to take this. So here's what I call our real-world example. And if any of you have been to one of our other sessions, we have this fake company that we invented called Syrup and Bacon Breakfast Consultants. And they started off local. We're talking about tasting people's syrups and things like that and advising them on how to make it better. And then, successful. It grew up huge and employees all over the globe now. And so we wanted to try to use My Sites. And so, the CEO, they wanted, our employees to feel like they're on the same site, a fully branded site. They want to, maybe improve some usability. And then, as things move along to a more advanced example, they want to show kind of providing different web parts and things like that based on what your user role is in the company and that kind of thing. So that's sort of what we'll be talking about in our example. And so here's our website if you haven't seen it. It's got a lot of style to it. But for this example, we're going to assume that that already exists. This is not like a branding, pure branding session. We're not going to talk about how we built this part of it. And if any of you are familiar with our old SharePoint 911 site, you may see some similarities between it. That's purposeful. But this is what we're going to be starting with, right? And then we're going to be looking at how My Sites can look inside of it. So if we're talking about branding your My Sites, right? You have some options there. So if you already have your branding existing, you can reuse a lot of that. Like you could reuse a good portion of the master page. And as we go forward, you'll see that in the personal site specifically, that you can really reuse the master page. For the host, you'll be able to take some things out of it and use that. But a lot of your CSS and images, you just move right over and use it. We'll have a little bit of CSS that's specific to the My Site. But for the most part, reuse is good, right? So you don't have to just reinvent the wheel here. And so, what's our approach? We want to let the My Site content drive the look of the pages. What I mean by that is, again, the center of the content is going to be pretty much the same. We're not going to, change the layout and things like that. We may add some web parts and that kind of thing, but we're going to let that stay the same. Then we're going to carry forward the branding from our public site. We're going to take the header, and the background, and the colors, and the footer. We're going to move all those over, and then we might, I don't know if you saw in the screenshot, and you'll see in the demo, there's a global navigation at the top of the My Sites. We'll style that to sort of look like the rest of our site as well. But again, you decide how much you want to style this stuff. You don't have to go crazy in yours. And so when we talk about the My Site host, John kind of touched on this briefly earlier, we're all on the same site collection in the My Site host. So when we look at your profile or any of the other pages that are in there, it's all one site collection. So when you change the branding in there, you change it for everyone, right? And if you're familiar with how SharePoint branding works usually in a SharePoint site, it's the default master page in a basic site is v4.master, right? Well, in the My Site host, it's actually not v4.master. It uses something called MySite.master. And so if you're to look in the site collection, I think v4 is still in there, so you might get confused and say, oh, it's just using that because it looks very similar to it, but it's not. It's using MySite.master. And so if you're going to create a new a host master page, you could, if you wanted it to look a lot like that one and maybe just have your logo or change a color or two, you could make a copy of MySite.master and then just add or remove things as you'd like, right? But if you're going to make it look completely different, you know, again, like much like regular branding, you know, you want to start with something that's like your white canvas, your blank slate or whatever. And so there's a starter master page for the MySite host that I've uploaded to startermasterpages.coplex.com. You can download it and use it freely in your sites. We'll take a look at it when we switch over to demo mode in a second. And essentially, it doesn't look super pretty, but it just includes the required things that you need in order to make the MySite host work. And then you can add in your branding to it. And that's sort of what we'll look at in a second. And again, you know, the global navigation is at the top. You'll have to style that to look like your stuff. So when we talk about the personal site, so when you like click on My Content, I think is where it goes to it, it's very similar to a team site. And it's so much similar to it that it just uses v4.master. And so if you've you know, already applied a master page to your existing site, you could pretty much just copy that over and then just add a couple things in order to handle styles and stuff. And so even to the point where the top navigation that looks like it's different than everywhere else is included in v4.master. It just never gets called until you're inside of the My Sites thing.
So. And don't you normally start whenever you're doing your branding? A lot of times you'll start doing a lot of the styling on your machine, like in a team site, just to kind of...
Yeah, exactly. I'll just if somebody said I just wanted My Site branding, I would just start it off in a regular site or whatever and then just move it over. And then, and also worth mentioning, when we look at some of these demos, I'll be doing it in SharePoint Designer. Probably not a good idea to just go on your production site and start editing the My Site host. You could probably do the personal site since it'll be yours or whatever, but you'd be changing the host for everyone, so that wouldn't be a very good thing to do. So here's some tips. Again, you know, I've said it a few times on these slides. You want to style the top navigation to look like the rest of it. You know, use your same branding from the outer shell. Use the colors. I like to keep the inner content arranged normally. I know some people go crazy with it and actually try to customize that too. In my opinion, you know, unless you're adding web parts and really have a need to do that, just use the out-of-the-box, the way the My Sites is arranged, you know, inside of the page. And you'll see in our example, we used a fixed-width display instead of the display that stretches the full browser width. But you need to be careful with that because you need to make sure there's enough room to contain all the things that are in the My Site. And one of them is in that screenshot there, that the org chart thing kind of takes up a lot of space. But essentially like 980 pixels, something like that, is a good safe width to go with and still looks nice and you can fit everything in there. Another thing that people often try to do when they first get started with this is they don't like the top navigation sort of being outside of where normal navigation is, right? So they try to move it down into the normal place in the master page. It seems like a logical thing to do. But the problem there is, as we'll see, that navigation is sort of bolted in there strangely. And so if you try to move it, I've seen sometimes where people end up with it twice. It ends up at the top and where they put it. So watch out for that. I leave it at the top always because life is short. You don't want to tackle that. And the org chart, like I said before, is popular, but it's a Silverlight control. And so you're not going to be able to like just style the colors in there with CSS or whatever. So you're pretty much going to live with that looking kind of how it does or whatever out of the box. So it's demo time.
All right, so let's see. I believe we're on two.
Bueno. All right, so here's our custom branded site. You guys maybe have seen it before, but you know the point I'm trying to drive across here is that we're gonna kind of share this branding. We're not gonna reinvent the wheel on this or whatever, but we're gonna take the background and the navigation and things like that, and you know try to make it look like that. And so if we go over here, and we click on My Site, you know we go into our My Site, right? The My Site host, so to speak. You'll see it doesn't look anything like our site, so that's probably one thing our CEO would complain about right away is, hey guys, how come it looks blue and white and the rest of it looks black, you know? And if we go over here to my profile, that's really the more interesting part of the My Site host, I think. You know, you get the little photo, and you get all this fun stuff that's in here or whatever, but you're still in the My Site host, and then if we click on My Content, then you go into, this is where the personal site is, and you can see, again, looks a lot like a team site, but it's got this this extra stuff up here, right? So if we open up SharePoint Designer, right, because that's where I do most of my design work these days, and I've already got the sites open because we don't want to sit here and wait for them to open up or what have you. But so this is my.contoso.com. That's our My Site host. I open it up in SharePoint Designer, and I have rights on the host or what have you. And you know, you could go to catalogs, master page, and see what master pages are loaded, or we can kind of just click this thing right here and see the master pages. And you could see that in there is a v4.master, but it's not being used, and there's this My Site master. And if we open up and take a look at My Site master real quick, you can see that it's kind of got like a lot of fun stuff in there. It's not very easy to read, much like v4.master. The ribbon takes up a lot of it. The interesting thing I think about My Site master is they're actually not using a lot of these content placeholders. So if you know something about branding, for those of you that don't know anything about SharePoint branding, this may be confusing, but you know, we had to kind of jump in somewhere, right? A lot of these content placeholders aren't used. Like, they're visible, false, and they're in this wonderfully named S4DIE class here, which basically just means don't show it or whatever. They could have called it hidden or something and been a little more friendly or whatever, right? You'll see here's another one. Why they didn't group all these, I have no idea. But essentially, it's just the placeholder main is the big thing and a few other ones. And then, you know, otherwise, it's very, very similar to the v4.master. And then if you were curious, here's what my starter master page looks like for that. It's actually more lines of code than the other one, but it's because it's commented and that kind of thing. And really, in mine, I just kind of grouped all of the placeholders that aren't used. So you can see right here, in some ways, you know, My Site's branding is easier than regular branding because you don't have to worry about all this stuff. It's just sort of hidden in there for you. And really, all you're worrying about is you know, where the main is and the status bar and a few other things, et cetera. This happened last time where the UI got weird in the demo. I don't know why it does that. Anyways. So what we could do here is if we've already got SharePoint branding already created, like we do in our case, what I would normally do is I would just take all of the styles and images and I would just fire them into the style library here. And so if I expand the style library, you can see I have a folder here called Syrup or what have you. And this just contains everything that the public site had in. I even have the same CSS file is in there as well, same style.css. But I also added in there a My Site.css, which I'll open up real quick. I won't check it out. And basically, so what I do is I just add my extra CSS into this special My Site.css folder. And you'll see that it's not crazy. You know, I'm doing some stuff to style the global nav. I'm doing a couple other style things in here that are specific to My Sites and maybe to sort of shrink the page in and add my logo to it, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, we just need to sort of bring that in to our site. So let me open up my styled one here. So I've got My Site host master.
And while you're doing that, I will say that later on in the session, we're going to provide a link to a sample My Sites deployment that isn't going to have this exact branding, but it's going to have a similar, it's going to have a customized My Site that deployment, so you can go ahead and deploy either, you know, just the branding or if you want to do some of the custom cool stuff. So if some of the stuff looks interesting, you'll be able to kind of reverse engineer the stuff. It's up on CodePlex, and you can take a look later.
It's better than giving the Syrup and Bacon one because there's extra jQuery and things like that in there that confuse the issue. So for a starting point, it's better to just have what we've packaged up there. It's just a sort of a simple Hello World type of branding. Anyways, what I wanted to show you here, though, is that this is basically just my starter master page with my branding, my HTML from the branding applied to it, much like how you would do traditional branding, right? We're just merging the starter with the HTML that arranges all the content or whatever, right? And so right, I'm trying to find where I load in the CSS or whatever, right here. So you'll see here, here's the, you know, my default style. This is what I, you know, would normally style the site with. And then down here, I have where I'm bringing in the My Site CSS. And that's basically, you know, 90% of the extra CSS is just sitting there in this file here. And so it doesn't really do a lot, so to speak. So kind of once you've got the branding set up, so you've merged your formatting and your styles and that kind of thing, and you want to see what it looks like on the site, you can kind of just right-click on it from SharePoint Designer and apply it to your site. So I can right-click here, and I can say set as default master page, and I can right click here and I can say set as custom master page, and that just the difference between those is the main pages use the custom one, and then the site settings things use the site one. So now that I've applied it, if I go over to if I go back to the host or whatever, so I go to profile, you'll see it's got our branding in there, right? And as you can see, I changed some colors and fonts and that kind of thing in the middle here, but I really pretty much kept it the same way that it normally is, right? So you know, we can go to like, I don't know, tags and notes. I forget which one of these has interesting things on it or what have you, but you know, we can see the different parts of the thing kind of loaded here. In mine, for whatever reason, it's just showing me, but if you have a larger org, it kind of expands out and shows everybody right there. You know, but if we go over to my content again, still not branded, even if I hit F5 and refresh, right? That's because that is a personal site. Didn't take on that branding. So what we have to do there is we have to open up a personal site and kind of do our branding in a personal one. So I would do it in mine, or maybe I'd test it out on a regular team site first and then move it in because it's very similar. But we're going to proof it out in my existing one. So in SharePoint Designer, I've already got it open here, so we don't have to save the time. But if you look at the URL at the top, you can see that it's mycontoso.com/personal/administrator, right? And so that's mine. And so if we wanted to edit John's, it would be /John Ross or /Randy Driscoll, et cetera. And so just this one, right? If we look in the master page gallery for this one, again, it has the v4.master. It also still has the mysite.master, but it's not using it, which can be confusing, right? Because you would think that since it's in there, it's using it. No. This one actually uses the v4.master. And so, you know, if you've done any SharePoint branding, you've seen v4.master before, I'm sure, right? Well, and you may be wondering, so how does it get that nav at the top, like this stuff here, right? All this stuff is just in there, even though it wasn't in your regular site or whatever, right? Well, if you look right here at line 58, there is something called a delegate control. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in a little bit. And I'm not very good at describing delegate controls, but essentially it's something, you know, Microsoft put in there so that they can inject a control into the site, right? But that control can be overridden via a feature. And so that's what they're doing here, is by default it's bringing in sort of nothing. And then when a My Site template is built, you know, it's created, it injects a new control into there. And so later on we'll look at how, if we wanted to change that, we can inject our own control into there. But that's really all you need to know about this, is just regular old v4.master. And so if you're going to make something that looks a lot like it, you can just copy v4.master. Or if you're going to make something highly branded, you could download my normal starter master page for collaboration and just use that. And so that's what I've done here, is I've just made I've just taken our existing branding for the most part, and I chopped out the jQuery and the rotator and all that kind of jazz, since in the My Site it doesn't actually use any of that, just to make it simple. But otherwise, this is just our regular SharePoint branding in here, and then again you'll see, you know, that branding was more complicated. As you see, it brought in a font style sheet and a regular style sheet, but then right here, again, it just brings in the My Site specific CSS right there. And so just like before, I drag in all the images and all the CSS, and then we add this extra mysite.css file, and it looks remarkably similar to the last one we looked at, because really all this is doing is just adding that stuff to the top of it. So if we apply this real quick, let's see, go back over to here, and we say, so this one I want to apply the content one, so I'm going to say set as default. I don't think you have to do both for the for this, but I do it anyways just because I'm neurotic sometimes. But so I've applied it, and now if I hit refresh, you know, we've got our branding on there. But this works pretty much just like typical branding does, except for you have to worry about this. And so you can see, you know, we've styled it black and white to kind of match the existing stuff. Otherwise, it would be blue and yellow or what have you. And so that's kind of the basics of just applying branding to my sites, right? And again, I'm doing this in my local VM. So like if we went to John's account right now, which I don't know if you have, does one of these have it open?
Don't,
no.
Don't do that.
Well, anyways, if we went to John's and hit refresh on it, you would see his is still blue because this is just in the administrator account one, no one else's. And so what John's going to talk about later is how you would build a solution to make that happen. But before he does that, we're going to talk about some other things. So another question we get a lot is, how do we change that navigation at the top, or how do we change the navigation in the profile? And it's actually quite easy. If your account has permissions on the site collection that the host lives in, you could just go in and edit it, just like a regular team site. You just go site actions, look and feel, top link bar. So it's actually using, even though it's not located in the same place, it's using the same data source as the regular old top link bar. So if you go in there, it's like the basic UI, not the publishing ones. You just have to click add link or whatever, or remove link. So you can add in items. You can add like a link to Bing or Google, or you could, you know, add some functionality and then make a link to that or what have you. And then the next bar, which is in the profile section, kind of in the middle of the page, is actually using the quick launch navigation. So that's what's normally on the left, right? So you could just go in there, edit it, site actions, look and feel, quick launch, and you can add items into there, and it'll just show up in the thing for everyone, basically. So that's how you add items to it. What if you wanted to change the global navigation, right? And in our example, what we're going to do is we're going to add a logo to it, but you could maybe think outside the box there and get more creative with it. I've heard some people ask if they could add a different search up there. So they could add like a site search or maybe some specific search or whatever, or maybe they want to add a custom control that they've built or something like that, right? Normally, when you do something like that, you might just inject that into the master page, right? Well, because of that delegate control that I showed you, it's not as easy. You can't just edit it, right? Like if I brought it up right now, you would see it's just one line delegate, and that's what it brings in or whatever. So to bring in something else into there, we have to actually get a little bit codey, so to speak, and it has to have a feature involved, right? The feature needs to override that delegate control, and it's a very simple feature. I'll show you in a second that it's like one line or whatever, but it's just telling it to, instead of loading the normal control, we're going to load our custom control. And so to make our custom control, we're just going to copy the one that it normally loads in there and then just add our junk into it. And so let's flip it over here to demo time.
All right.
Alrighty.
This is when you get to show off your dev chops.
I know. To be honest, I didn't create this feature or whatever, so I won't go too far into it, right? I'm a designer. But so what we're going to do here is we're going to look for it first, right? And so it's in the 14 folder, and it's right here. So it's in 14. Well, I probably shouldn't have clicked that because it's harder to read like that. But if you see up there, it's in the 14 folder in template, control templates, and that's where it's at, right? And so if you look right here, my site, top navigation, ASCX, right? That's the actual control. We'll look at that in a second. But for our feature, it's in 14 template features, you know, custom my site nav. So I just created a feature, right? And if we look at these files, I'll open them in Notepad++ so we can take a look at them, right? The elements file just calls out, actually we'll start with the feature file. The feature file essentially just, all that does is just set up the title of the feature and all that kind of stuff that you see when you load it up in the UI and where it's scoped to the web version, all that kind of stuff. And then it just calls in this elements file, right? All basic feature stuff, if you've ever seen one. And then the elements file, all it's doing is it's saying control ID, global navigation, which if you remember over, where did I show that at? Over here is the name of what is being called in there. So right here, global navigation in this control, right? So it's going to say, I'm going to override that, and I'm going to override it, and I'm going to give it a sequence number of 10. I don't know what the default sequence is for that. I forget what it is, but 10 is higher than it. And so that means that it overrides it. And here it's just going to point to this control source. And in our case, it's going to point to where the control templates are located. And then I made a folder called custom my site nav. Then I made an ASCX file called custom my site nav. And that's really all there is to the feature itself. And then I'll show you this control next. And so the control, like I said, here's where the default one is. If we look at it, it's got some stuff in it. You know, registration tags, all that kind of fun stuff. There's even some CSS. And if you know anything about how this stuff works, you can kind of look at it and see what's going on here. It's got the welcome thing. It's got the MUI thing. It's got the dashboard. It brings in some links, et cetera. There's a link to the My site. And then there's this ASP menu, which, as you could imagine, is where it puts the navigation on the page at the top, right? Then here's that search for the people search. Generally speaking, a fairly simple control, right? And so all we're going to do is we're just going to copy it. And so I made a copy of it. And I put it in a subfolder, which is right here, custom my site nav. And if I edit that real quick and we take a look at it, I just copied it, like I said, so it's got the same stuff. I added a few CSS, because what I want to do is I'm going to hide the regular logo that I normally put in there just for this demo. And then I have some other CSS for sort of arranging things. And then if we scroll down to right here, everything else is the same except for this. I just added in a div which says custom logo my site. Display as block, and then we have a SP link button, which takes us back to the root URL of our site, not the my site, and then a site logo image, which is going to actually point into the style library and grab out a logo that I already created. So pretty straightforward stuff. You put all that together into a feature. You activate the feature on your server. And then if you have, you know, site collection admin rights or whatever, we can go in here and we can say manage site features. And then when I click this, you'll see something happen. So right here is my custom My Site navigation feature. When I activate it, what's going to happen is this syrup and logo, a syrup and bacon logo is going to disappear from here. It's going to move up to there. Pretty simple stuff, but it sort of drives the point home or whatever. And so you can see it disappeared, and I kind of like shrunk this area up to accommodate it, and then it put it at the top, and then it just links back to the main site right there. And so that's a pretty simple example of what you can do. If we deactivate it, you know, it goes back to the way it was. And so I'm not going to really get into like compiling the feature and all that kind of stuff. That's for devs. I'm a design guy. I don't do that kind of stuff.
But I think it's a nice usability thing that, like, you know, to add that link back to the homepage kind of helps make the whole experience a little bit more unified.
Exactly. And like I said, you could do more with it. You could do a custom search box or something like that. So now in this session is when John talks a lot more, and I sort of fade back a little bit.
So normally about this stage of the game, you know, a client comes to us. They said they want branding in their My Sites. Randy goes off, and he does his thing, and he's just talked about that for a while. And then inevitably, you know, what has to happen is we've got to take that branding that he's put together, and we've got to get it in the My Site, because we're not looking to deploy all of our branding manually with SharePoint Designer to every single one of our personal sites. That's ridiculous. So we have to figure out, how do we get those branding assets into the My Site? How do we automatically get the master page that Randy has created, and how do we get that to automatically apply? And how do we have all of this automagically happen whenever the new personal site is provisioned?
Tell us how, John.
It doesn't happen. Well, I'm going to tell you now. All right. It's a good thing. It's a good thing you asked me. So I'm not going to go into the ridiculous steps of how we're going to do this. I think that I would probably, we'd probably all be, we'd be here forever.
Yeah.
Be here forever. So the basic four steps for how we're going to do this is, one, we're going to create a feature that's going to move the branding files to where they need to go. And I'm going to show you that in just a second, what I mean. So we're going to create a feature that'll move the branding files to where they need to go. Then from there, we're going to create a feature receiver that will automatically switch the master page for us, so that once the files get there, we're going to switch the master page, and we're going to have all that happen. So, you know, that's great, but now we need it to happen automatically. So to get that action to happen and have that feature get called automatically, we need to use a feature stapler, which will take that feature receiver that we've created and everything, and it will make it so that whenever you attach it, whenever you staple it to the My Site template, whenever it's provisioned, it'll automatically call this feature that we've created, have it all run, and everything's all good to go. So once we create the feature staple and put all this stuff together, we're going to package it up with Visual Studio, create a .wsp, a SharePoint solution file, and we're going to deploy it to the SharePoint farm. This is an important thing that we have to keep in mind, because we need to deploy this at a level that will run at the entire farm, so it can't be a sandbox solution. If there's any devs here, we need to make sure that this is a farm, this is a farm solution.
Oh yeah, you told me to remind them that if they're on 365 SharePoint Online, they need to apply the master page like I did, sort of.
Right.
So if you're not using what he's talking about.
If you do have Office 365, the idea Office 365 needs sandbox solutions. So in our case,
we can't do it.
You know, you'd have to apply the branding the way that Randy had showed you. So some moving parts that we have, and what I'm about to demo. We've got a branding feature which is scoped at the web level. In a lot of cases, whenever we do branding, like for deploying most things, I'll deploy stuff at the site collection level. But for our case and our purposes here, we actually need to scope our branding feature at the web level. I messed around with it for a while, and I'm not really sure. I don't have a good answer why it needs to be at the web, but it does. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Then we're going to create a series of modules within our feature that are just going to make sure that we're deploying the CSS to the right place and everything. That's pretty common stuff. And then has the feature staple, the feature receiver, which I'll show you in just a second. Pretty simple. And the feature staple itself is something that needs to be scoped at the web application. So where the other one was scoped at the web level, the other one is the feature staple itself is going to have to be at the web application level, because in order to get it to a staple itself to the template, it has to be scoped at the web application level or it's not going to work. So from there, all that really does is it's just associating the branding feature with the personal site template itself, which is SPS PERS number 0. Really clever naming scheme that they have
there.
Knocked
that name out of the park, didn't they?
But you know, from then, what's going to happen is whenever the personal site fires, it's going to go ahead and apply that feature. So there's really not much to a feature staple if you've never seen one before. This is literally all that's in my file. It's basically, if you were going to create one yourself, you would go ahead and create a new feature within your Visual Studio solution. And once you created that that feature, you would just add an element, and in that element would be what you're seeing. You've got the reference to the feature site template association, which would basically is what does the feature staple itself, and it references the ID of the feature that you want to staple. So in this case, here's the GUID that I was using for the feature that I created. For whatever your brand, the ID of the branding feature is that's doing the swapping, you're going to go in and go into Visual Studio, click on the feature itself, and then in the properties of the feature itself, you'll see the ID. Grab that out of there, and you'll be able to put that into the feature staple. Pretty simple stuff. And then we reference the template that we're gonna staple it to. So it's all pretty straightforward. So right now I'm gonna switch over to my machine, and I'm gonna show you kind of what we're talking about here. So really, what happens whenever we do any of these types of things is, like I said, I'll normally get the branding kind of working in a team site. It's a little bit easier for me to deal with just because I can kind of have it be anywhere. But this is kind of what we're talking about from a, you know, this is just a basic team site that I've created. I've actually turned off the wiki stuff, which is something that you can do just by going into site features and turning that off. But whenever we talk about what it is that we're creating, I've broken this out into a couple specific pieces to kind of make this look a little bit easier or be a little bit easier to talk to. So I've got two features here that, in this case, I've broken them out for the sake of demonstration, but I've got a feature that moves the files and one that switches the master page. So from here, we've got it set up. I've got some modules that are created within Visual Studio that just align with, say, the file structure that, you know, Randy might have. So for, you know, all master pages live in the master page gallery under the underscore catalogs master page folder. So I just have basically created a module with a subfolder master page, and then that's where my master pages live. So from there, I've got an elements file that just kind of references those two things and makes sure that that they're set up so that whenever the feature is activated, it's gonna find things in the path, which is basically the same as the URL where it needs to go to. So I've got the path, which is the internal reference in the WSP, and then the URL where it's going to be deploying it to. So I've got the catalogs here, and then I've got the style library, which is just generally where we put all of our branding. We put it under the style library, and then we've got the syrup. So that takes care of the whole just getting the files out there. So under syrup, you can see all of our
images and CSS.
Yeah, all of our images and CSS, and then under our elements file, we've got all our references. Pretty simple and straightforward stuff. Now, if you're from a perspective of switching the master page, really there's not much to this. The code that I have for switching the master page looks exactly like this. You know, there's really nothing much to it. Under my feature activated event, I'm setting a variable where I'm getting the URL of the current site that we're on, and then once we get that, we're just tacking on the name of the file that the name of the master page that we want to switch, and then we're just going in, setting the value of we're passing in our variable, and then we're setting the master URL and custom master URL, which is basically exactly what Randy just showed you how to do in SharePoint Designer, except we're going ahead and we're setting these, and then we're calling an update afterwards. And whenever we do that, it'll go ahead and look something like this. So if we go in, I can kind of show you real quick. If we go in under the View All Site Content here, hopefully this will spin up and be nice to me. So if I look under the style library, you'll notice there's nothing in my style library. No tricks up my sleeve here. So if I go under and I go to Site Settings, and I know that everything lives in my site features, I can click on the Move Files feature, click Activate, and nothing really too exciting happened. But if
it was exciting.
But if I go under Style Library, you'll see that now the Serif folder has been created. Everything has just been injected in there. And so the other piece of that would be to go back and activate the other feature, which will switch the master page. So when I hit activate, it automatically switches the master page and gets everything applied for me. So just kind of what we do, what we're trying to do from a my site's perspective, is we pull all this together into one feature, so that the two features that I just showed you kind of are combined into one, and then we just need to make sure that we create a feature staple that activates that at the time it's provisioned. So in order to create the feature staple, there's really nothing too exciting here. It looks exactly like what I just showed you. There's nothing too exciting. So once we do this, that's really all there is to it. We take the branding, we deploy it, we have our event receiver, we feature staple it, and we're good to go so that the next time that we provision that site, this is exactly what happened. And I'm going to show you a little bit more of that in a bit, but that's kind of the gist of it. There's really nothing there's not really too much in the way of smoke and mirrors there, and if you had any, if you're interested in doing that, you know, just from the basics of deploying branding, that's it. You know, so you can go to CodePlex, I'll show a link in a little bit, and you can pull down that code, and there's an example of how to deploy branding. You can kind of use our files and add to them or whatever. You can get the whole source from Visual Studio. So if you're interested in getting more information about deployment and some of the things that I said that goes into a little bit more detail, here's a few resources here. One of them, Deploying Branding Solutions for SharePoint 2010 Using Sandbox Solutions from MSDN, written by SharePoint MVP Ted Pattison. And some of you are probably sitting there thinking, well, John, you just told me not to use a sandbox solution for deploying my sites. And I would say, you're absolutely right. But Ted does an excellent job of talking about creating an event receiver and what goes into that. So everything that he talks about applies to non-sandbox solutions as well. So you know, that just gives you some good info on the event receiver.
You can follow those instructions but not make it a sandbox solution.
Correct, exactly. Okay. So just whenever you go through and you create a new solution and a new Visual Studio solution, you just want to make sure that you selected that it wasn't a sandbox solution. You want to make sure it was a farm solution. Information on creating a custom feature staple is right there on MSDN. You can take a look at that. Again, nothing really too exciting. But for traditional branding deployment, I'm a big fan of CKS Dev. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, I suggest it. It's a great resource, and I'm also going to give you a link at the end of the session to our CodePlex project. But once you've done that, once you've gone ahead and got your branding and everything all set up, you know, a common request for customizing my sites would be controlling and customizing the web parts that get deployed to the page, whether it's for adding or deleting or moving. So how would you do that?
That's a good question. How would you do that?
Well. It's honestly, it can be tricky because a lot of times people will say, you know, oh, well, why don't I just create a feature receiver that goes ahead and does it for me? Well, the problem is that there's a timing issue involved, that you've got to make sure that whenever you're doing whatever changes you are to move the master pages around, which is, you know, pretty trivial on a page that exists already, you've got to make sure that the page exists before our code runs. So in order to do that, the recommended approach would be to do something like embedding a server control into the page, which is literally just like one line under your page, and then you got to just make sure that you have a reference to it. But what that does is it makes sure that code doesn't run until the first time you actually browse to the page. So it's embedded in the master page, which doesn't exist until the provisioning has happened. You browse to it. There's a check that happens to make sure that, you know, has this code ever run before? And assuming the code hasn't, it goes in and does whatever it has to do and then goes and sets a flag to make sure it doesn't keep running every single time you go to it. But this is all based on a blog post from Steve Peschka for SharePoint 2007. But from in SharePoint 2010, we went ahead and updated the code and took it to got it working in 2010, and then, you know, kind of added some extra stuff. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. So how does it all work? Well, like I said, this is kind of a little pretty graph, which Randy loves the colors that I've chosen for this.
Pick some wonderful colors here.
The page loads, and then we're going to do a check. There's a check in there just to make sure that it hasn't run before. Make sure it's the first time. If it is the first time, what it's going to do is it's going to get a reference to the page that we're on, which is default.aspx. It's going to get a handle on the web part manager on the page to get it to understand what web parts themselves are on the page. And then once we get a handle on what those web parts are on the page, we're going to take a look at our instructions in our XML file, which I'm going to show you in just a second. There's a whole XML file that we have that's got a schema that, based on what you pass into it, will determine what we're going to do with those web parts on the page, whether it's we're adding one that doesn't exist or moving existing ones or removing them. Those are all defined within our schema. Once we get a handle of what those files are, we're going to build a hash table of all of the web parts that we're going to either be adding or manipulating. And then from there, we're going to apply the instructions from the XML file to the page and put them on the page, save it, and set a flag so it doesn't run again. This all sounds kind of complicated. And you know, the great part about it is it's already done for you. So if you were interested in doing something like this.
Two. Okay.
So if you were interested in doing something like this, this would absolutely be something that you could just pull down the code. So we're going back actually to the file that I was to the Visual Studio project that I was showing you before. So there's really nothing too new and exciting that I want to show, but you'll notice that there's this thing called partcheck.cs, and partcheck.cs has all of the information that we need. That's got all of this is the stuff that Steve Peschko put together that we have that we've modified. And I'm going to show you some of the additional modifications that we've made. But you know, this is all in there and does a great job of doing everything that we need to do. I'm not going to go through this line by line. It's well commented, and you can go through it later if you're a dev and you're really interested in getting some more information about that. But what happens is it makes reference to this file called mysitestapley.xml. So all this is there's a schema built into it, and it's documented. If you go to my CodePlex project, you can take a look, and it references Steve's documentation, which covers a lot of this stuff. But you'll see that it really just, you know, it references a web part action where we just get the assembly name for the web part itself. We pass in the class name as well for, you know, whatever the respective web part is. We give it a zone, we set the index of the zone, and then we say what we want to do with it, whether it's add, delete, or move. So all of those things work together, and then once we deploy it on the page, the only other thing that we have to do is we would just have to add our reference to the we have to register the actual server control that we're putting there, and then there's a simple reference right here to what we're doing. So really, all that's going to do is that whenever we go in and whenever we create it, it's going to just build out everything and pass in the instructions, and it'll add and remove the web parts that we're going to show. Now, I'm gonna skip ahead, and I'm gonna do one demo at the end that's gonna kind of cover everything. But basically, what's gonna happen is everything's gonna fire off, and it's gonna all work together. But kind of before we go into that, let's say that you're interested in controlling the web parts, and you know this is all fine and good, but you want to do even more with it. So rather than just adding and moving and deleting web parts, what if you wanted to make it even smarter? What if you wanted to take it to the next level, which is leveraging values from, say, the user profile value? Say one guy is in sales, another guy is in marketing, and we want the sales guy to get a different set of web parts from the guy in marketing, or IT needs other stuff, because we know IT needs all the good stuff, right? So we want
to take it to 11?
We could take it to 11.
All the designers in the room have already like passed out, you know, but for the devs, this is pretty cool stuff right here.
So
there's one.
So what we got over here is from the from our little pretty green diagram that we've shown before, I've conveniently added my little, you know, touch of branding to the difference here. So we've got our same little pattern here that we're following that's happening whenever the page loads. But the only difference here is that we're going to do a check to the user profile that makes sure that it can really be anything. Whenever we designed this, we designed it with the idea in mind that I don't know what value I might want to use from the user profile. So what we've done is we've added to the schema, and we can switch over and I can show that to you. We've changed the schema for this XML file to simply reference these two extra fields right here. One is user profile property, which is the value that we will pull, which is the actual field that we're going to pull from, and then we specify what the actual value of that field is going to be. The great thing about this is you don't have to use it. So if this is something that you didn't find valuable, you could go ahead and just leave it blank, and it would just, you could control the web parts all you wanted. But if you did want to take advantage of it, you could enter this. So I've already kind of preset this so that if I have, so I have it keyed up to do the Department of Sales and to do the to do IT as well. And I'm also doing, here's the here's this, and then I've also got one that's doing a move. So to kind of demonstrate that this isn't all just smoke and mirrors here, I'm logged in as Randy.
Congratulations.
So Randy is in the IT department because once again, IT gets all the cool stuff. So we're going to assume that we're going to assume that maybe he's got some custom web part that maybe shows all the tickets he's been assigned in the help desk or something like that. And we're going to go through the process of, I bet if I refresh this, hopefully this will work. So we got our branding already applied. So now I want to create my MySite. So it's going to sit here, and this is why we don't do this demo a whole lot, because this isn't really fun for you to keep watching us recreating personal sites. But what's going to happen whenever my machine, hopefully if I cross my fingers, whenever this pops up on the screen here, you're going to see that we've got a custom little web part over here. This is a content editor web part, and my original plan was I was going to inject some like lolcat in there that would have been really awesome. But it was a little bit more difficult than I expected.
Oh, the lolcats are always more difficult.
But what you can see, though, that I want to point out is that we've got, you know, the shared documents and personal documents. We've injected this IT department over here because he's part of the IT department, which you would see if you went over here to the My Site. Oh, it only shows me for some strange reason. But if we were to go back and we were to go over to, let's say, the administrator, you'll notice the administrator website. You see he's got shared documents, personal documents, and recent blog posts, where this one over here, if I go back to this one, recent blog post has been moved over to the right. So if you're a dev in here and you're looking at this stuff, I think this is something that I think that you'll find kind of valuable and useful. So if I close this real quick and log in as me just to prove that this whole thing actually works, it's going to make me sign in, and I'll sign in. And let's say now that I'm signed in as me, I hit my content, we get to watch the spinny ball again, which I always joke about in Australia. It spins the other way in Australia.
One day we'll give this session in Australia. We'll see if it actually
It's going to be
does.
Amazing. Yep. But you can see now I got a different web part that deployed. So I'm in the sales department, just like my user profile said. So I get that. So this is an example that, you know, if you're maybe your salespeople have like custom CRM web parts or something like that you want to surface on their My Site. IT, we want help desk stuff. You know, maybe someone else. So through thinking about how you do this, and you know, all of this code is going to be available on CodePlex. Go ahead and download it, pull it down, reverse engineer it, do whatever it is that you want with it. It's yours. You know, go play with it, and this will be a good starting point that you can kind of build off of. And the last time we gave this presentation, a friend of mine who actually works for a very large consulting company of a team that has about, you know, a couple hundred developers came to me and said, one of my architects just came in and quoted your session to me, so it better work right. And I said, well, you know.
Did it work right?
It did. It does work. But so here's where you can go, and you can take a look at the sample code. sp2010mysite.codeplex.com. It's got two separate deployment packages, and the accompanying source. So if you're interested in just downloading simply the package that deploys the branding, there's a separate download that only does the branding stuff. If you're interested in controlling the web parts, there's a separate download that gives you the ability, gives you everything with the part check and the My Site staple-y, and there's references on the CodePlex project to Steve Peschka's blog, so you can go and pull down, and he's got some great documentation that kind of explains a little bit more about the schema itself that he put together. But, you know, like I said, this is all based on what he did for 2007. We've just built it, enhanced the profile stuff to kind of make it a little bit better, and added some of the branding stuff. But there are some sample branding files in there too, so don't miss out on those. So in summary, you know, we bring this all full circle. Social isn't just for, you know, it's not just Facebook anymore. You know, this is not Facebook just for the enterprise. It's not personal. There's a lot of real measurable business value in there, and don't miss out on what SharePoint brings to the table from a social perspective. So My Sites are really the backbone to the social experience in SharePoint. And, you know, if you're interested in the customizations and everything you do from a branding perspective and from what we're doing with web parts, that's really the key to unleashing a lot of this value. So Branding helps improve usability and helps users feel at home, but then the web part deployment really takes it to the next level, so don't miss out on that. But you know, if you're interested, come and talk to us. This is how you can reach out to us on Twitter, on our blogs. Here's our email. We also have a book signing that's going to be down at our Rackspace booth at 4 o'clock. So it's going to be giving away 100 copies of the branding book. So if you're interested to get some more information about that, if you're not one of the 100 people that can get in line in time, it's also available in the bookstore. So, but, you know, reach out and say hi. We're always around.
Yep.
But, you know, here's some more information about SharePoint Server. But be sure to review the session. I think if we go to the next slide, there's the...
Yay.
Little tag. Oh, one more.
Oh.
All right. Be sure to review the session. And thanks again. Enjoy the rest of your time here in Orlando, and enjoy TechEd. Thank you.
Thanks.